This is the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode 187.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. In this episode, I've got a great interview for you with digital marketing expert Dan Knowlton. And we're talking about how to create more shareable content. Now, a quick heads up for you, if you're a regular listener to the show, you'll know that the quality of the interviews is usually excellent. This interview is a great interview. The content is brilliant, but we did have a few sound problems. It's certainly very listenable, and I feel quite confident that my editor, Igor, will do the best he can, but it may not be as top-notch as you're used to, but it's still worth a listen because Dan just shares some absolutely great content. But before we get to the interview, just a quick reminder about something I've got coming up for you. So I've recently launched my online PR course, which is called Soulful PR for Starters. And basically, it's a step-by-step guide, everything you need to know to get high-profile coverage in newspapers, magazines, and on radio and TV. So I'll take you right through from the beginning to what journalists are looking for, to how to put a great pitch or press release together, how to find journalists' contact details, how to follow up with them if they don't get back to you. So basically, everything that you need to know to get really high-profile press coverage for your business or your brand. Now, as it's the first time that I've run through this course, well, certainly in this particular format, I'm running it through first time with a small group and I'm offering it at a special price. So if you're listening in the future, it's going to be starting on September the 11th, 2017. I'm offering it £195 plus VAT. It will be £295 plus VAT next year, but I just wanted to run it through once and get feedback and testimonials. So that's why we've got a special price. Obviously, the advantages are if you join now, you'll be in a smaller group. So we've got a dedicated Facebook group. We've also got a couple of live coaching calls in there. So you will get more personal attention from me, more one-to-one. So if you think that's on your radar for the future, then I would definitely sign up. This episode is due to go out on Friday, 18th. Of August. And I think that by the time we get to that day, I think we'll probably be up to capacity. We may go on for a few more days. So if you are interested, but you're not sure, then as ever, just drop me a line on janet@janetmurray.co.uk. Happy to answer any questions that you've got about the course. And now on with the main part of the show. Joining me on the show today is digital marketing expert Daniel Knowlton. Now, I first came across Dan when I heard him being interviewed on Chris Ducker's Youpreneur podcast a few months back. I was really impressed by how he'd grown his digital marketing agency in just 18 months, and I tweeted him to say so. So we kept in touch, and I saw him a few months back when I was speaking at Social Media and Marketing Conference in London. And he smiled at me the whole way through my talk. Now, that sounds a little bit weird. It's not weird at all. It just felt really, really nice and supportive. And I just thought, what a nice bloke. And having been watching his content for some months now, I just thought it would be great to get him on the show. He's an expert on many, many things, but I thought it would be great to get him on the show to talk about how to create more shareable content. So welcome to the show, Dan.
Thanks for having me, Janet. Happy to be here.
So might you be able to start by telling us a little bit about you and your story?
Sure. So I am really passionate about digital marketing. I've always been interested in business from a young age. I've been really lucky to have a dad that's very entrepreneurial, and he's really kind of driven me to want to get into business from a very, very young age. And I did a business management and marketing degree at Brighton University. My first year, I didn't do very well. I was 1% away from failing, and then kind of had to pull my finger out the second and final year. Really, really worked hard and managed to do pretty well out of it. And then all of my friends went away traveling, and I really just wanted to jump on the career ladder. So I applied to loads and loads and loads of jobs, got turned down by a lot of jobs, and then eventually managed to get a graduate management scheme in a blue chip organization near London. Worked there for a year, worked really, really hard, managed to kind of work my way up the ranks there. And then eventually I just kind of was just tired of it, and I was working a lot of hours and not kind of feeling that I was getting back what I wanted back from it. So I just quit, and then I went traveling around Thailand for a month. And while I was doing that, I started to kind of build up my own personal brand on social and started to consume a lot of content about online marketing, social media marketing, and just started to execute. And I was spending all of my time learning how to do stuff and doing it. And kind of when I got back from Thailand, set up a small consultancy where I was pretty much just showing other small businesses how to do what I'd done, how to generate leads and get clients from social media, from what I'd learned, pretty much, Janet. And then from there, started to really work with bigger clients, started to work with the local council, Kent County Council. My brother came on board and we've just kind of grown from there. And we're just really, really passionate about what we do.
Wow. So it sounds like you've done an awful lot in a short time. So something that caught my eye on your own blog recently was a post that you did. I think it was like 20 really shareable
results. Ideas. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Could you run us through some of the types of content that work really well? Give us some examples.
Yeah, definitely. So the first thing you need to think about when creating shareable content is you really need to think about the psychology of why people share stuff on social media. Once you start to understand the psychology behind why people share stuff, then you can start to plan and create content which is based on these factors as to why people share stuff. So for example, one of the biggest reasons that people share stuff on social media is because they're triggered by some kind of emotion. If you look, like I'd advise you to this, Janet, if you look at your own Facebook feed, your own LinkedIn feed, look back at the kinds of things that you've shared and then try and think about, why did I share that? What was the reason behind sharing that? And I did this for my own Facebook feed. And I realized that most of the things I've shared on my personal Facebook page have been because they have been triggered by emotion. So I've got things like, there's a really great video from Florence and the Machine. She's singing a song next to a lady who's ill in bed who couldn't make it to her concert. And it's really emotional. When I watched it, I was like tearing up and it was really, really good. And I shared that. There's other things that I've seen, like, for example, the People Are Awesome videos where people are doing loads of crazy cool stuff, and I've when I watched that I was like, wow, that's amazing, and I've shared that. So the main things we're sharing are because we're triggered by emotion. They make us laugh, they make us cry, they make us angry, they amaze us, they make us go ah. So as businesses, what we need to do is think about, when we're creating a content, we need to be way more strategic. Why are we creating this content? How is it going to trigger emotion? What emotion is it going to trigger? And then start to create content based on the back of that. So one, some examples for you, Janet. Nostalgic content. People love remembering the good old days. So think about your target market on social media. What stuff do they remember to do with their interests around your industry that you could post about that they're going to see and think, wow, I remember that. So for example, we work with a car paint refinishing business where they target body shops and they sell them kind of car paint to refinish the cars and things. We know that that target market are interested in cars, and we worked out that the people we're targeting are aged between 45 and 55. We did research to find the most popular cars in their era when they were 17 was Ford Cortinas. So we created a number of posts based around reminding these people about who remembers the Ford Cortina from the 1970s, targeted it with Facebook ads to that audience. And then we had hundreds of people commenting, sharing, liking the posts, sharing photos of their old Ford Cortinas. From that, we then invited them to like the Facebook page, and we helped grow a targeted audience. And we got tons and tons of engagement and share. So that's one example. Other things like useful content. Another reason people share content is because be useful. They like to help their audience. So one of the things that we do to take advantage of this is we create lots of educational, practical, tactical advice, tips, and help and knowledge to help our audience. And we get lots of shares and engagement because our content is so useful. It's not us saying how brilliant we are, come and work with us, we're great. It's us saying, hey, you've got a problem, here's how to solve it.
Yeah, that's certainly, I think most of the content I create falls into that. And a theme that's emerging for me as you're talking is that when you create content, it's not about you, it's about your audience. I mean, that's something I find myself saying all the time.
Exactly. At the end of the day, your audience has a problem that you solve. Your whole business is based around you solving a problem. And you need to understand, why are your target customers on social media? There to look at brands. They're not there to read about how brilliant you are. They're there for escapism, to be entertained. They're there for education, to learn. They're there to build relationships, to consume interesting, fun stuff. So as businesses, we need to think about creating content that isn't about us. Exactly like you said, Jan, it's about our target customers, and it's about solving their problems, solving the reasons why they're on social, entertain them, educate them, inspire them. Whatever it is they want, start creating content that solves that need.
Okay, so you've given us a couple of examples. You've given us the nostalgia example and tuning into emotions. You've talked about practical how-to content. Any other types of content that you think work really well?
Yep, entertaining content. This is something that lots of businesses shy away from because for some reason as businesses, we think we need to be very corporate. We need to be very serious on social media. Whereas our target customers aren't on social media to be very serious, to be very corporate. They're there to be themselves, to be normal people. And they resonate with businesses that show that they have normal people who have normal emotions, who have normal things happen to them. So another piece of content that works really well is things like entertaining content. Like I said recently, we created some kind of funny sketch videos to do with how not to network and things like that to show kind of a bit of an entertaining side to the kind of things we do. But when I say entertaining content, you don't need to suddenly turn into a comedian. You can do things like, another example is Andrew and Pete, who I know you had on the show a few weeks back, Janet. Andrew and Pete, we did a collaboration with them last Christmas and they created a really cool video called A Marketer's 12 Days of Christmas, which I advise everyone to go and watch.
Oh yes, we can link to that in the show notes. I remember it, yeah.
Yes, so we basically teamed up with them and they came up with different lyrics for the 12 Days of Christmas to do with marketing and they got various other big influential people involved. And it was just a lot of fun. There wasn't us saying, hey, we do social media, come buy our services. It was us just saying, hey, we're going to have some fun with this and it's going to be really cool, fun and entertaining. And it got lots of traction. Like Kim Garst shared it to her, however many people. There was Amy Schmitter on it. There was loads of cool people in it. It got a lot of traction. And that's another example.
Quick question on entertainment.
Yeah, go on.
I'm thinking about, as always, I think about my own brand here. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't feel very on brand me to be kind of funny or do sketches.
Okay.
I'm not funny. I'm sure I'm not funny. But it just doesn't feel very on brand. So for someone like me, I'm just thinking as you're talking, could I do like mistakes people make in their press releases or pitches?
Yes.
Thing, that kind of thing.
So yeah, you're exactly right, Janet, and you bring up a really great point. Not everyone feels that their brand is really entertaining and funny and that kind of thing, which is so, so true. So what I'd say to that, Janet, is apply your own brand and your own styles to some kind of content which comes under the bracket of entertaining. You don't have to be crazily different to how you normally are, but think about some topics to do with, you know, what common mistakes that people could potentially relate to and feel like, oh yeah, I always see that, that's a bit annoying or that's a bit funny. Think about the topics which people would consume that are different to the normal standard stuff you do. So yeah, I wouldn't ever recommend not being yourself and not being on brand, but think about the topics you can do within that are in line with your brand.
Okay, and I can imagine some people listening might be thinking, this sounds all very well, but it sounds quite labor intensive. So videos, for example, and I'm already thinking about how I could do like some corkers of some really bad press releases or something.
Sure, yes, okay.
Or bad pitches. Have you got any recommendations for tools that you could use to put together a quick video, for example?
Yes, there's InShot. Have you heard of InShot before, Janet?
No, I haven't actually.
InShot is a really, really great tool. It's an app, which is kind of like iMovie, but much easier to use and with loads more cool features. So you can create different videos, cut videos together. They've got really cool animations on there. It's very easy to change the size of the video. So you could have taller, like square videos for Instagram. You could have taller videos for Facebook. You could have normal size videos, and they've got cool animations you can add on top of them. You can also add audio. So what we do with audio is you obviously need to make sure the audio is non-copyrighted, and there's various different websites you can get that music from. I can't remember them off the top of my head, but I'll share them with you after this, and you can add those links in the show notes to non-copyright music. That's a really great tool to use. Also, I know everyone knows about Canva, but Canva is a really great tool to create graphics for videos. They've got loads of cool templates that we create all of our kind of thumbnails and things on from there. There's also a really, really one more tool, Janet, which is called Inlight, which is really great for creating really cool images for your videos. It's basically like a Photoshop for your phone, and it's a really cool tool.
It's called Enlight, is it? Did you
think? Enlight, yes. Enlight.
Okay, great. We'll get that in the show notes as well. And I think you're just about to give us one more idea on what makes really shareable content or another type of content that we could create.
Yes, interactive content. Content which encourages your audience to be interactive. And this is actually, I've got an example for you from Enlight, the tool I've just mentioned. I recommend everyone go and look at their Facebook page because they are doing some incredible, incredible stuff with tutorials, tips, advice, showing people how to use the tool. One of the things they do, which is really great and it encourages a lot of engagement on social, is they get kind of a standard picture and they say to their audience, hey audience, use our app to create something cool with this image and post it underneath and the winner will get a prize. So like hundreds and hundreds of people every time create such cool images. So not only does this get people engaging with their content, it gets people using their app. It gets people showing how the cool stuff you can do with it. It's just incredible strategy they're using and they're doing some great stuff on social.
Wow. And I guess you can use that strategy even if you're not au fait with the tech. I'm just thinking, I've just posted something on my own Facebook page this morning and I've basically broken down my marketing strategy. I've got a course that I've just launched, which is called Soulful PR for Starters. It's, you know, step by step how to do your own PR course. And I actually, this is so second nature to me, actually. I didn't really realise that I was doing this, but I took every element, basically, of my sales page and used it as content. So first off, I got my designer to create some ideal logos, shared those, asked people to give their opinions, what they thought. Mm-hmm. Then I put the price tag up from my sales page and said, what do you think about, you know, a big price tag like this? Is it
yep. off?
Do you want to see it? I asked people to vote on whether they wanted a physical workbook for the course. I used, I got my designer to create some images for Instagram, which I then used for some blog posts around it. And it just kind of went on and on. As we're recording this, it's on my Facebook page now. And I've just broken it down how you can, even without the tech, it's just about kind of getting people involved and getting them to tell you what they think and almost feel like involved in that creation process.
Yeah. Do you know what, Janet? I've actually been following, since I saw you talk at Social Day, I've been following a lot of stuff you're doing. And one of the things I've noticed that you're doing really well is this is encouraging engagement. And the reason it's doing so well is because you're not just asking random questions about stuff you don't care about. You're asking really great questions to your audience about stuff which you really care about. Like you said, the logos, the pricing of your courses and things like that. So that's something really great you're doing. And another thing I've just picked out from what you said is to do with repurposing content. This is another really great point when it comes to, you know, people say they haven't got the time, they want to be more efficient. How can they make sure they can do this? One of the best ways is to repurpose your content and make lots of different pieces of content from one piece of content. So for example, here's one example that we do. When I speak at an event, we film the footage from that event. So we then upload that to YouTube and various different channels. So we've got a whole 40-minute video of a talk that I've done. We then cut that up into different segments of kind of sound bites of things that I've said, which could be really tactical, short snippets of information. Put those videos on Instagram stories, on Snapchat. And then we create quote images from that. So say I've said something which could be like put into a really cool quote for an image on that I can create on Enlight and put that on Instagram. Then we could write a blog about some of the ideas I've shared, create various blogs about it. There's just so many ways to make one thing that you do, even if you're not speaking at an event, say you write one blog, that blog can be cut up into lots of different pieces of content. So it's about doing exactly what you're doing, Janet, and being efficient and repurposing that content.
How are you managing to create all this amazing content but still be super amazing for your clients?
Great question. And what it comes down to, Janet, because we didn't used to be this efficient and this be creating like a weekly blog, a weekly video, a weekly, you know, we didn't used to be creating this new content every single week. What's made us be able to do this is organization and planning. It's having a process to follow every month. You know, I'll share our process with you now so that this may be useful to some of your listeners. What we do before every single month, we have a whole day meeting where we sit down and we discuss how our previous month's content has performed. We think of new creative ideas for the content. We plan every weekly blog we're going to write for that month. We plan every weekly new video we're going to create for that month. We plan every new guest blog that I'm going to write for that month. So we basically have a day, a creative day, where we plan everything we're doing for that following month. What we then do is we then dissect who's going to be doing what between my brother and I. And then we use our Outlook calendar and we then spend an hour scheduling in to our Outlook calendar every single thing we need to do for that month to create our weekly blog. So we schedule, for example, to do the blog, we schedule time in to write the blog. We schedule time in to edit and check the blog. We schedule time in to promote the blog. And the same goes with filming video, editing video, promoting video. So what's made us be able to do this is to be incredibly, incredibly organized. And before our month even starts, we know every single thing we need to do. And we have every single thing we need to do scheduled into our calendar. So we literally can't get around it because it's like scheduling in a meeting. We know we have to do that. Otherwise, we won't be keeping up to what we need to keep up with. That's it, Janet. That is how we stay so organized and so efficient.
Couple of questions that come from that. First of all, is there room for spontaneity? Because often I just see things or things catch my attention and I just want to jump in and post them. I do it all the time, actually. I should probably do less. So is there room for spontaneity? And also, I'd love to know what's been the impact on your business. I mean, for me, it's a total no-brainer. I create really valuable free content on my blog, my podcast, on social media. I have conversations with people. I schedule in time to talk to people on social media. And I don't really have to sell, because when I have got a new product or service on offer, I have to write a few emails and I have to think about my strategy. But essentially, it's like it's almost sold before I go out there with my email. So it'd be good to get your thoughts on that. First of all, spontaneity. So what's been the impact in terms of your leads and sales for your business?
Sure. So spontaneity, 100%. This is something I didn't mention. On top of the planned, you know, this is everything we need to do for the month, we also do spontaneous stuff every week, almost every day. So if I suddenly, if something happens, one thing we do a lot of in the business is share what we're learning as we're going through our journey. So every week I'm learning new stuff. We're all constantly learning. I'll have a meeting with a certain type of person and maybe pitch slightly differently. And I'll think, oh, that worked really well. Or, oh, that didn't work well. I'm always sharing every single day on Instagram stories and Snapchat my experience of what we're going through. And that's a really efficient way of doing things, because I'm literally picking up the phone and saying, hey, this just happened. I learned this. Maybe you can learn something from it. So that's one, you know, we're doing spontaneous stuff every day and it doesn't take much time. The second question about the effect it's had on our business is the same as you, Janet. It's an absolute no-brainer. Now, it's taken a while to get to where we are now. You know, at the start, we were creating all this free content and stuff, and we weren't getting a huge amount of traction at the start because no one knew who we were. No one trusted us. We weren't extremely credible because we didn't have loads of clients under our belt. So it took time. But where we're at now, we have a steady flow of leads coming in from people who have been watching all of our content. They already kind of like us because they've got to know our personalities. And they're coming to us saying, hey, Dan and Lloyd, KPS, we want to work with you. We've been seeing the great stuff you're doing. And we don't need to convince these people to work with us. This is something that's really changed for us, which I think would be valuable to your listeners. When you create this content, you give out this free information, you show people your personalities, your culture, your values through content, the leads that come in, you don't need to convince them. They're already convinced they want to work with you. They already know they're a good fit for you because you've shown them your personalities, your values through your content. So we've stopped working with people who we have to really convince and push to work with us, because from our experience, we know those types of people, they're always more difficult to manage. They take a lot more of our time up, and they've always got their expectations and never met. There's always one extra thing they want. So when people understand the value of what you do and they want to work with you because you've created this content and they come to you in an inbound way, they're much better clients to work with.
Yeah, I've been blogging for about 4 years now. I've had my podcast. I'm now on, this is going to be episode 186 or 7 or something like that. It takes time. And I often say to people, I think it takes, personally, it can happen quicker, but I think it takes at least a good year to build an audience online that know, like, and trust. It can take longer. Yeah, you do always hear exceptions, but I personally think you should allow a good year.
I think it's more. Yes, you will see some results in the first year, but looking back from where we were a year ago to where we are now, it's not comparable at all. It depends how much you work as well, Janet. If you're working 9 to 5 for the first year, then you're going to only get so far. If you're working 7 till 7 for the first year, you're going to get that extra bit further. It depends how much time, effort you're putting into your business. And if it's something you're passionate about and you're just starting out, you should be putting in extra time. You know, if you really want to be the best in your industry, you should be putting in the extra time, the extra hours, so that when you do get to a stage down the line when you're 5, 10, 15, 20 years old, your business is that old, then you can start to look back and think, oh, I've built something where I've got sustainable income. I can chill for a bit. I don't have to work these long, long hours. So I think it's important starting out. You need to put in the hours, put in the work to get yourself into a good position when you're 10, 20 years down the line.
So this really leads me nicely onto the last thing I want to talk about, actually. So this is about hustle. So, well, we didn't meet at Social Day. We kind of already met online, but we met in person at Social Day. And there's another speaker there called Finn Cassie, who I'm hoping to have on the show as well. He's a growth hacker. I've been obsessively listening to his stuff recently, listening to him being interviewed on different podcasts. And he just says that over and over again. If you really want this, you have to put in the time and you have to be hungry for it. And there are no shortcuts. You have to get up there and you have to roll up your sleeves and you have to work, you know, which I think is what you're saying.
Yeah.
when you first start creating content, it feels to me, I said to somebody yesterday in my group, when you first start creating content, you have to pull out every trick in the book that you can to get people to like your content, to share it, to comment on it. You have to ask your friends. You have to ask your mum. You have to ask people in your team. I mean, has that been your experience? I still do it now. I still sometimes get people in my team to go and comment on things to get the, you know, to nudge the sluggish algorithm and get things moving. But has that been your experience too?
100%. And when you're starting out and you don't have loads of fans and followers who love your content, no one knows about you. You have to do this stuff to get that traction. You have to, like you said, ask your friends, ask your family, ask your close colleagues, ask people in your team to like, comment and share your content as soon as it goes out. That we still use that trick today. I'm still a member of various Slack groups. I don't know if you've heard of these, where there's lots of people in our niche and we all share similar kind of content to do with digital marketing, social media marketing, content creation. And we all post our content in this group and we all share each other's content to help each other get out there. Now, you do need to still be careful with this. One thing you don't want to become is just someone who spams the hell out of everyone and who constantly is tagging people in stuff when it's not relevant and things like that. So you do need to, there's a fine line between kind of hustling and getting people to help you out and you helping them, between that and then spamming loads of people. So you do need to be careful, but it's incredibly important still, Janet.
And we talked about this back in episode 185. I interviewed Mark Williams about LinkedIn, which has been a really popular episode. But he talked in that episode, it's just stuck with me. I keep thinking about it. He keeps saying, you have to train the algorithm. You have to train the algorithm. And it feels to me that that's what you're doing pretty much on every platform that you're doing. You have to be training the algorithm to recognize that your content is good, that it's going to get shared. And so that the next time you post something, the algorithm on whatever platform it happens to be will say, oh yeah, Daniel Knowlton, he posts really good stuff. We're going to show this to more people. But that involves, I mean, like you say, there's a fine line between being annoying. You do have to be careful. But, you know, like I tag people and I've started doing it more on more platforms because LinkedIn showed me this was a good thing to do. So you can post something and you think, actually, I can think of five people who I know have an opinion on this. I know I'm not bugging them because I genuinely think it's something. I tagged you into one about, I was saying I was trading in my car.
Yeah.
And I just had a feeling because you're quite young. You're quite like well-dressed and you've got like a nice looking image about you. I just had a feeling that you had a nice car or might have an opinion about it. And what I was saying, this LinkedIn post was that I'm buying a new car. I've got a Fiat 500 at the moment. And, you know, I think I deserve a nice car. And if I want to buy myself a nice car, you know, great.
But that's right.
There's something in me that's making me think like, you know, that almost like a kind of poverty mindset around cars. And I'm like, you know, I shouldn't spend on a car if I don't need it in the car, whatever. And I just felt it was something that you liked opinion on. And
I did.
And you did, yeah. So it's not about kind of bugging people. It's about genuinely thinking.
Exactly. You executed that tagging of people. You're doing it very well because it's relevant to the people you're tagging and it's likely they'll be interested in it. I saw that I was tagged in that post and for not one second did I think, oh, Janet's annoying me. I thought, oh, brilliant. Janet wants to hear my opinion. I can share it with her. So you're doing it in a way which is very clever and is just genuine and authentic rather than let's tag loads of people you're doing it in the right way. Exactly right, Janet.
And I think that's what since I've seen that be so successful on LinkedIn, I'm now trying doing it on Facebook. I'm now trying doing it on Instagram, you know, and it may well be that it doesn't work as well on other
platforms. You've got to try, Janet. You've got to try new things. This is the thing that people get. One of the biggest mistakes they make is they get stuck, they get comfortable, they're doing the same old, they're coasting on social media, whereas every day there's new features coming out. Yesterday, Instagram announced that they're launching threaded comments. This is a very tiny feature, but you need to keep up with these new features on these social platforms, because if you're not using them, you're going to get left behind.
Definitely. And that seems like a really, really good point to finish on. So thank you so much. You've shared so much value. I have to say, I'm hoping that my podcast editor, Igor, is going to come on and he's going to work his magic on this episode. But we have had quite a lot of sound challenges, haven't we?
We have. It's been fun.
I decided that the content was so good that we just had to go with it. So thank you so much. You've shared so much value. And I definitely think if you're looking for an example of good practice and, you know, how to be creating, first of all, really great content and how to be sharing it effectively, then you need to go and look at all Daniel's accounts and see what he's
doing. Thanks, Janet.
So where can we find you if we want to go and basically see how it's done better?
The best thing to do, rather than me reeling off all of my social accounts, just go to our website and scroll down on our homepage. There's links to all of our social accounts. So our website is kpsdigitalmarketing.co.uk. You'll find everything there.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, why not come over and join my Facebook community? I've recently opened a Facebook group that's exclusively for podcast listeners, and you can find it at the Soulful PR Podcast Community. That's the Soulful PR Podcast Community, and I'd love to see you over there.
You've just been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more free content that will help you get media coverage for your business.